You're listening to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon, presented by 92.9 Tom FM, an iHeart Radio station.
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I'm Kyle McMahon. Pop Culture Weekly gives you your news, views, reviews, analysis, other things that rhyme with views on movies, music, TV, social, gaming, technology, anything else pop culture related that you could possibly want or stuff or something. In today's episode, it's episode number 7, I can't believe it. We are doing hot clips. Is football too long? The Bachelor started. What's out this week? And our feature presentation is 2019 Oscar nominations is the big news this week. And for this week's guest, guess who I have? It's Benny.
That is fantastic.
That is your intro music.
Oh my God, what's going on, Kyle? Oh, it's
it's the Benny intro music. I love it. What's going on with you?
Nothing much, man. I'm fired up about the Oscars because it looks like they're gonna finally not agree again with the Golden Globes and everything. I'm really excited. It's been a good couple of weeks. Red Dead Redemption's been awesome to play for following that storyline. So
anything else going on in your life right now?
Nothing much. I started my my New Year's resolution. I'm doing one new book every single month, and I'm on pace to finish the first book by the end of January. So I have to hustle on it a little bit, but I've been reading it like 10 pages a night, and it's a 100-page book. So I think if I can squeeze a couple extra pages in there by the end of the month, I'll be able to complete it.
Okay.
That's one book down, and then we're starting another book.
Awesome. So the other day, for you listening, the other day, Benny came into the studio with a stack full of books.
Yes.
Like a literal stack.
Yep. And I have even more at home that I'm reading. So there's like, I have like a pile of 8 books, and I'm going to add to them obviously, because it's a book a month is not 8 books in a year for math people out there. I have to add 4 more. So I have one more book I ordered, and I have to get 3 more by the end of the year. But I'm going to read my books now, and then over the course of time, just add to it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So first up is Hot Clips. Woo!
Ooh, I like that.
There's
like
our
game show.
There's our Hot Clips
hot
music.
Clips.
Hot Clips with Kyle and Benny. That sounds like a very bad
in-house
movie.
Voiceover guy. I love it. Every podcast should have one.
All right, Hot Clips. Is football too long? Okay, so I'll explain this. So I was with T, who I talk about a lot. He's a giant football, well, any kind of sport, he's a giant fan.
Sports fan.
Yeah. I went over the other day to watch the game, the Patriots and the Packers. Is that right?
No. The Patriots and the Chiefs.
The Patriots and the Chiefs. There you go.
The Packers did not make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. The Patriots and the Chiefs. So, you know, the last half was exciting. The last quarter was exciting. The overtime was really exciting. The first 3 quarters are completely unnecessary. I've come to that determination. And my other issue is that I literally timed it, and there was like 8 minutes left, and now, of course, I'm going to forget the exact numbers, but there was like 8 minutes left in the game, and it took 28 minutes or 48 minutes or something to get done that 8 minutes of game, and then the overtime, too.
Yeah. Now, that's football for you.
That's so annoying. Like,
well, okay, first things first is the way you're supposed to view football is football in 2019, 2018, 2019 now is supposed to be viewed as a social event. You're not supposed to watch every second of the game. You're supposed to have friends over and enjoy the game and party and have snacks and look at memes. And that's what it's football has become, like a social event.
Okay.
football, like, the problem with football is not how long it is. It's that they, like, the referee, the officiating's terrible. The rules are terrible. It's way too soft of a game. Like, before, yeah, like, you, like, way back when, like, 2004, you used to have to watch every single waking moment of the game, and it was excruciating because you would see, like, a big hit, and you couldn't take your eyes off. It was excruciating in the sense that you couldn't take your eyes off the game. Now, like, you can take your eyes off the game and not miss much.
Right.
So keep showing the replays. But to your
You could come back a half hour later.
Yeah.
And they're five feet further than they were, yards or whatever.
Yeah, well, you leave and you come back, and it's like, now the Chiefs have the ball, and you're like, oh, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm rooting for this team. Let's see what they do. And they punt, and you're like, okay, well, I don't care, and you can leave.
Right. Like, and you're like,
football, that's the way people watch football now.
Yeah, and it's like, where's Michael Jordan? I don't see him on the field. That's a joke.
But to your point about like the final quarter, like it's like you're building a building. It's like you're making a work of art. You know, you need that first stroke of the brush to, you know, eventually get the Mona Lisa. You need that first pouring of the concrete to build that foundation for a good building. If you don't have the first, second, third quarter, there's no fourth quarter. There's no overtime. And like, the reason that overtime is like so crucial and so like thrilling is because the games come down to this. One score and it's over, and you're like, oh my God, overtime. That's the way football is supposed to be viewed. But football has issues, don't get me wrong. If you watch the Saints-Rams game, football has plenty of issues. Like, they missed like five clear face mask calls, and that's like 100 yards worth of penalties right there. Completely missed it.
And if you can't tell, Benny is obviously another huge sports fan. So, in fact, he has a podcast called
The Pat and Benny Show,
which does not just sports, but mostly sports, right?
Yeah, we talk about everything Philadelphia sports. We also talk a lot about just, you know, growing up in Delaware, what we did as kids. This week, though, will be talked about a certain article from PhillyVoice.com. But if you want to go check out on my Twitter, I absolutely roasted this author. At Benny on the Radio for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And it's an article written about Carson Wentz. I'll let you guys go read it. It's PhillyVoice.com. It is a horrible article. It's almost comical. It's like reading fiction. It's okay. Funny.
All right. So answer me this, though. Would it not be more exciting? There'd be more stakes if there was only a fourth quarter. The stakes, every single moment would count. Like, you'd be on the edge of your seat the entire time.
Here's my counter to that. Okay? Okay, here's my counter to that. Eventually, because our attention spans are just dwindling down so much to the point where we can't even watch baseball games anymore. Eventually, what people are going to want. So let's say we go down to 15 minutes. Let's say one 15-minute quarter, and that's it.
Which would really be like a 2-hour game on TV.
It'd be 15 minutes would probably span an hour with all the timeouts and whatnot, and incomplete passes. Eventually, what they'll do is like, okay, just make it 5 minutes. Okay, just make it 1 minute. Like, that's eventually what we're going to get down to the point where people will be like, all right, I'm done with sports. I think leave football the way it is. The sport that really needs help is baseball, because baseball is like, baseball ain't getting millennials at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though I love baseball.
Okay.
But now football's fine. Baseball had a moment like this before where they were like, oh, just play the final three innings. But you don't get to the final three innings without the first six.
Right. That's true. Okay.
You know, like the ending of the book is great because you read the first 11 chapters, you know?
Yeah, but if you had the author do a Cliff Notes version.
And then you read the ending?
It'd be a lot more exciting. All right, so.
Can you just Cliff Notes the Super Bowl, please?
The Bachelor started, which I think is dumb.
The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are the worst things to happen to television ever.
And potentially life. Because, first of all, this guy is a virgin. There's nothing wrong with being a virgin, but why would you go on a show with like 30 girls and looking for marriage and you're a virgin? Like, these are like, can we say horny? These are like ravenous, horny.
I'll say this. After watching one clip, there's one girl that's straight up a psycho.
Yeah.
Like she faked an accent to stand out. Did you see that?
No.
It's incredible. I think it's somewhere on like Barstool on Instagram, but like they took a clip and like this girl faked a like Australian accent to stand out.
It's absolutely psycho. But I did see this meme that was like, women who hate men that date Walt.
Women, okay, I know what you're talking about. Women that hate men that cheat watch a show where one man dates multiple women.
Right.
Yeah. And that says it all.
It really does.
It says it all right there. And then vice versa. Guys that hate girls that cheat watch a show where a girl dates multiple guys.
Right.
Now, I don't. The predominant market that they're trying to speak to is moms. They're
trying to speak to
like older women that are like, oh my God, who will she pick?
Right.
Who will he pick? Both shows are dumb.
Like, they really
they're
are.
They're really stupid.
And it's been on for like 30 years and there's been like two marriages. Like that should prove that it's.
The retainer rate, the holding weight rate.
Right.
I don't know what you're going to call it.
Yeah.
It's pitiful for those shows. It's so terrible.
Well, because you literally have dated this person for like a month and then you're like, oh, the engagement episode.
What
you know
these
what I mean?
Shows do. And then like there's a bunch of shows like that on MTV too. These shows try to cram years and years of building a relationship. Hey, you want to talk about football? Just show me the end. Just show me the end. This is what happened when you just get the end. This is like, it's like, you can't enjoy, you can't have a cake without there actually being cake inside. And you're just like, I just want the icing. Like, this is that. This is that.
That
you cram everything into 10 minutes and it does not hold up.
That is true. Then I'll amend my feeling about just having a fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They should sell optional tickets for just the fourth. Like,
just
if you want to go
quarterly
to the,
tickets,
yeah.
Just so, drop the price down.
Exactly. So for like the fourth quarter, you know, it's whatever. We'll even say 50% of the price.
You just hear the announcers just go, it's quiet here on the first half. Fans have not yet piled in for the fourth quarter.
That's hysterical. Okay. What's out this week? I have music. What's out this week?
Ooh.
I'm bringing a little flavor to the
show. That was funky. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So what's out this week? The Kid Who Would Be King in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyer, which I told you before, I saw at Film Fest 919, and that's where Nicole Kidman, I think I showed you the picture. She looks nothing. Like, I showed you the picture, and you were like, that...
It does not look like Nicole Kidman at all.
And then Serenity, the Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway thriller that is, like, on a lake or something, that actually looks pretty cool. And then in the music world, Backstreet Boys' new album, DNA, which I love the single off of that, the first single from that album. I actually love it. And then Megan Trainor's Treat Myself, which was delayed like 9 months, it's finally coming out.
There you go. And we still haven't gotten what's the Dr. Dre album we're still waiting on?
I don't know. I forgot about Dre.
You forgot about Dre?
You didn't get the joke.
I did get the joke.
Oh.
What was it? It's like the rehab or something, or
I forgot about Dre.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was wrong.
What?
That was the wrong joke.
A completely wrong joke. What are you playing right now?
I do have some weird ones that I... Listen to this one.
Are you spilling something on the floor?
It's a folly, collection, so like, you know, it's the artists that make the sounds for movies. So that is a chicken carcass guts.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a chicken carcass being torn.
Oh.
Isn't that gross? Yeah, it's really, really gross. Oh, here's what I was doing. So let's start again. So whose album?
Dr. Dre's album.
Dr. Dre. Oh my God, I forgot about Dre.
Oh no, not laugh tracks.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, you guys are too much. Thanks so much. Anyway, so I don't understand what you're talking about. So Dr. Dre, what?
There's an album. Oh my God, I forget what album it is. I think it's oh God. Detox. That's it. We're waiting for Detox.
Didn't that already come out?
Uh, No, Detox has still not come out.
Mm.
Apparently, it's supposed to come out. He's been working on it for like 30 years.
He's been working on it since 1952.
The first delay was like, oh, it's going to be out next year. And then the next one was like, oh, it's going to be out the following year. And then we're still waiting 30 years later.
Okay, well, there is what's out this week. So I'll probably see Serenity. That looks really good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our next segment, What We Consume.
I'm surprised you weren't going to use the chicken guts liner. It's a fantastic liner intro to something.
So what did I consume this week? I went and saw Glass at the movie theater. At the movie theater, and it was awesome. It was an excellent. Did you see Split or Unbreakable?
I've seen Split, and I've seen. I have not seen Unbreakable.
Okay.
But I knew that.
The tie-in.
I knew the tie-in to Unbreakable, and I also knew, what was it? Oh, who's the actor that's in Unbreakable? Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I knew that Bruce Willis was going to be in Split.
Wait, you knew that he was going to be in?
Yeah, I knew that he was going to make a cameo in Split.
Oh, okay. But you never saw Split?
I never saw Unbreakable. I saw Split.
You saw Split, never, okay.
Yeah.
So.
I'm familiar with the concept of Unbreakable and kind of what the movie is.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I knew Bruce Willis was going to be in Split. Afterwards, I knew the tie-in. I had no idea they were going to start like a universe.
Yeah, so it is because whenever awesome.
Whenever you think of universes, I do not think of M. Night Shyamalan.
Right, but that's the genius part of it. That's the twist of it, you know, is that that's not what you would have thought.
His entire twist is that he's making a universe.
Well, he's always said, I remember when I was little or ish and Unbreakable came out, and it was like the first like serious superhero movie that I had seen. And, you know, this was before Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy and all that. I remember him talking about making sequels, and the two sequels he wanted to do, it was Unbreakable would be the first. And then the second sequel or I guess the first sequel would be Breakable. And then the third one would be called Broken. So, but then
just never
for
happened.
20 years or however long it's been, you literally, there was no news about it whatsoever. And then Split came out and I was like, like that. I mean, when I saw it, I like dropped dead at that, you know, I guess it's not a spoiler now, but dropped dead at that reveal at the end with Bruce Willis, because I was like, what? He's finally doing it. And everything that we've seen before is related to Split or related to Unbreakable. So it was genius. And then Glass, we knew obviously was going in. We knew it was the third part of the trilogy. Excuse me, yawning. So it was awesome. It was a very, very, very fitting end to really a 20-year journey. So
yeah, when Split dropped and it had the tie-in to Unbreakable, I think a lot of people were like, whoa,
yeah.
What? Like, I think everyone just kind of thought that ship has sailed a long time ago and just was not going to happen. I will say this, Split, without the tie-in, is still an amazing horror movie.
It really is.
It's still an amazing horror movie because, like, it's psychological. I remember watching Split and just sitting there in the theater and just like, because I'd never seen Unbreakable. I'm not familiar with the superhero movies. It doesn't come off as a superhero movie. It comes off as a horror movie. I think that's the way it was billed was a horror movie.
Split or Unbreakable?
Split.
Split. Oh yeah, Split. Absolutely.
The way Split was like the trailers, everything was a horror movie.
Yep.
So me sitting there, I was just like, and I'm a big jump scare. Well, not jump scare. I like horror movies that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like Split makes you uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Like the guy acting like the kid because he's acting like a kid. The guy acting like a kid. And I forget the lead actor's name, but he was phenomenal. The idea that mentally he's turning himself into this monster was just, it's so incredible.
It really is.
And when the girl shoots him with a gun and does nothing.
Yeah.
And that's when I was just like, oh my
there's God.
No way you can kill it.
Yeah.
There's no way you can kill it.
Yep.
And like, oh, it's such a great and amazing movie. The fact that it ties in with Unbreakable is incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so I'm Glass looks great too, and I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, you've got to go see Glass. Yeah. Watch Unbreakable.
Yep.
And then go see Glass.
Okay.
And everybody at home, go see Glass. It's really good. What did you consume this week?
So what I consumed this week was the article on PhillyVoice.com. I'll stay away from that. I'm random, and I kind of have a really crazy viewing pattern. But when I do watch YouTube videos, it's pretty random. This week, I'm all about El Chapo.
Like the
cartel, yeah, the okay. Cartel leader. I watched an amazing documentary on El Chapo and his escape from the one prison in Mexico. I had I always thought that he was just a Colombian drug lord, and that's what he was. I had no idea that he's worth $1 billion. I had no idea that he literally has there's a channel, like, if you were to excavate Mexico and just kind of cut the top off of Mexico and lift it up as a country, he's got, like, this entire tunneling system network that runs from, like, the bottom of Mexico to the U.S.
Wow.
It's nuts, and that's how he gets everything around.
Where was this? Where'd you watch it?
On YouTube. You just literally YouTube El Chapo documentaries. It's, like, one of the first two that pop up. It's, like, 40 minutes.
Okay. Because that sounds really interesting.
The amount of, like, it starts with his escape from prison and how he did it. His escape from prison is incredible. So what his cartel did is because he got captured and he's going into prison, his cartel had this plan to buy property like 2.5 miles away from the prison, start building a house, and then stop building the house halfway through building the house, and then dig down and a mile to the prison.
Wow.
And then up to his exact cell, then cut a hole in the shower bottom, and then wait for a certain date and time for him to leave. The time was 8:52 when they change out security guards, so that way when one security guard got up, he would quickly go to the shower, pop open the lid, put it back in, and scoot. The other security guard would sit down at the TV thing and look at El Chapo's cell and just think that he's taking a shower.
Wow, that is incredible.
It literally, like, this is some movie-level stuff here.
Yeah. All right, I'm definitely going to be watching that. That sounds awesome.
It's nuts. It is nuts.
All right. Well, it is now on to our feature presentation. hello? Not you. It's now on to our feature presentation.
It's time for the Oscars.
The 2019 Oscar nomination special.
Whatever, like, giant voice guy they'll get to do. Whatever happened to, who's the guy that does the Darth Vader voice? Like, just get him
James
to
Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. Just get him to the Oscar nominations.
That is funny. I've got some amazing sounds here.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Go on! Get out of here!
Go on! Get out of here!
Go on!
Get out
of
here!
You know that that lady... You know that that lady who opened up that little audio clip, she is so proud of that performance.
She has that clip for her kids.
Yeah, she's like, honey, it was amazing at work today. They put me as the lead voice, and I told them, go on, go out of here. But the way I delivered the line.
She probably divorced her husband because she thought she was going to become a star.
Get out of here.
Gotta go. Get out of here.
I love our audience. See, they love us. It's amazing.
A live studio audience.
All right. Our feature presentation. I already played the music, right? Yeah,
yep.
I did. Okay. So, the 2019 Oscar nominations, they were announced today, which will be a few days ago for when you listen to this. But Best Visual Effects, Avengers Infinity War. Christopher Robin, First Man, Ready Player One, and Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Ooh.
What do you think? I'm thinking that it should go to Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah. hands down, best effects is Avengers.
Yeah.
Though, Star Wars did a very good job, but that movie doesn't deserve to win an award. Avengers really does. Like, not that Solo's a bad movie, and not that that would matter in this award specifically, but Marvel, whoever does the effects for Marvel, especially digitally, they do such a good job making it not look fake.
Yeah, absolutely. But how funny would it be if Solo wins an Oscar?
I went back and I looked, and I don't think a Star Wars movie's ever won an Oscar. Or they might have won, like, they've never, like, won Best Picture. They've been nominated before, but they've never won Best Picture.
Right.
So I think they've won, like, smaller Oscar awards. They've gotten nods for that. But I don't know if they've ever won in a while or at all.
That would just be hysterical if Solo won an Oscar. You know
what
I mean?
That would be great. Like, of all the Star Wars movies to win an Oscar, Solo.
All right. Best original song, All the Stars from Black Panther. That's Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Ooh.
I'll Fight from RBG, which is Jennifer Hudson. Shallow, A Star Is Born, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. The Place Where Lost Things Go, Mary Poppins Returns, which is Emily Blunt. And then When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings from The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is Willie Watson and Tim Blake Nelson. For me, I love...
When a Cowboy... Okay.
For me, I love... Kendrick is one of my top three favorite artists ever. Gaga's up there, too, but... I'm going to have to go for this one with Shallow.
Yeah, Shallow, I believe it won at the Golden Globes, and I think it won at the Golden Globes, I'm not sure. I'll double check that right now, but it's very much synonymous with the song,
yeah.
Or the movie.
Yeah.
It does a great job, but above all, it's a really great, great song. It's charting.
It is a great song.
There's no way you can get a song that charts and not give it an award, especially when it's coming off a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for this award, you know, this award. Shallow is perfect for this moment.
It won at the Golden Globes, and I am picking it to clean house and win an award at the Oscars.
Okay. Best sound editing. Now, normally I wouldn't cover this category, but I think it's hysterical that A Quiet Place, which, have you seen A Quiet Place?
I haven't, but I've heard it's like it's a movie. There's no sound in it.
There isn't any sound. I mean, it's an amazing movie. I love that movie, and I guess it does make sense that A Quiet Place is, you know, there isn't traditional sound in it, mm-hmm. So it really is all about the sound
makes
effects.
It unique.
Yeah, absolutely. So that makes sense. I just thought it was a cute little, you know, whatever fact. Best Documentary Feature, Free Solo, Mining the Gap, Of Fathers and Sons, RBG, and Hale County this evening. RBG has got to win this.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the...
RBG is, you know what I'm talking about? It's the documentary on Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Let's go with that, yeah. play the chicken guts. Play the chicken guts. Play the chicken guts. Give me the chicken guts.
Okay.
Give me the chicken guts right now.
Oh, that's so gross. Oh, I can't even listen to it.
Bucket of chicken guts.
Oh.
And that reminded me of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
By the way, they're making a Lego figure out of her because she's going to be... Because she's going to be in the Lego movie, too. I think that's pretty... Sorry. It's just a random fact.
They're sitting there like, what person can we get in the Lego movie? And they're like, what about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? She'd look smashing and dashing in a Lego.
In a Lego. Okay, best foreign language film... Roma.
It's got to be Roma.
And Shoplifters and Never Look Away, Cold War, and Capernaum. It's got to be. Exactly. Roma is the only one that matters. So.
If Roma doesn't win that, because like one of my friends made this post and I sent it to you and it was hellacious. I felt personally attacked. I felt personally attacked for you. They said that Roma was overrated.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Your friend needs to be slapped.
He He often takes very interesting stances.
Contrary stances.
He's a very contradictory person.
Best animated film, Incredibles 2, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I loved. Mirai, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs, from what I understand, and I haven't seen it yet, it is on my list, is a very adult movie, but it got a ton of clinical acclaim. Those clinics are loving it.
Those clinics.
critical acclaim.
Oh, those clinics.
The clinics, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's a Lego now.
They make an animated... Wait a second. Oh, my God. An animated Lego documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg called Block by Block.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. So, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I think that's going to win it. It was a phenomenal achievement in animation.
It won at the Golden Globes. I do not doubt that it's going to win at the Oscars. Unfortunately, a lot of these movies are just, they're really, really small. And I mean, I don't even know what Mirai is. I've never heard of that.
That's really the only small one there, though.
That's the only small one there. Isle of Dogs, I saw a commercial for. It looked interesting from a visual perspective. I didn't dig enough into the story because I didn't care enough. The trailer didn't make me care enough.
He hates dogs.
Those clinics. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Hate dogs and I love Legos.
If Ralph Breaks the Internet wins anything, the world needs to end. Just hit the reset button. We need to go back to when we invented fire. Incredibles 2 has a chance, but I mean, I think with these awards, you have to go chalk and what the Golden Globes have done, and that's where we go with Spider-Man.
Okay. Best Cinematography, A Star Is Born, Roma, Never Look Away, The Favorite, and Cold War, just because I've got to go with Roma.
This is an interesting matchup because it's got two powerhouse movies, one foreign and one domestic, and then a bunch of other movies that are basically there because they had to write names on cards. I really think this is a matchup that Roma can win. However, Star Is Born is probably going to be the favorite in this award.
I actually think, and I'm trying to be not biased because I love The Favorite as well, the movie The Favorite, and I love Roma and I love A Star Is Born. I think Roma is actually going to get it because cinematography-wise, it is unbelievable movie. But, you know, I have been wrong twice before in my life, so.
Twice. Only twice. Never more than twice. Only just twice.
So far, just twice. I have it in my notepad. So.
You wrote it down.
Best Director. Spike Lee, Black Klansman, Powell Wolkowski, Cold War, I hope I pronounced his or her name right, Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favorite, I love that movie, Alfonso Cuarón, Roma, and Adam McKay, Vice. It's got to go to Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
I don't know. See, this is an award where I'm up in the air.
Okay.
I definitely think that it, Alfonso Cuarón is a guy that definitely deserves the award.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding is that he won it for the Golden Globes, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think this is where the Oscars start to kind of to stray away from the Golden Globes, because usually, like for a lot of awards, it's Golden Globes, Oscars, Golden Globes, Oscars, Golden Globes, Oscars. I could see this being where The Favorite picks up.
Okay.
An award.
Okay.
The Favorite or Black Klansman.
Okay.
I could see one of those two winning.
I just picked that up on 4K because I haven't seen it yet, and mm-hmm. it looks so good, and I love Adam Driver.
I like Adam Driver, too. Spike Lee is a name, so they might want to... Because the way, like, the Oscars are, like, the Oscars are very much of, like, this little clique. So, they might just go with the name for now.
But think about it. Alfonso Cuarón is a huge, he swept the Oscars a couple of years ago with Gravity. What's their names?
It was Matthew McConaughey. George Clooney.
George Clooney.
Yeah,
Sandra Bullock?
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Yep.
Swept. So
yeah.
So, you know, but is he? And he did, of course, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. But is he a household name? If I said that to my grandmother, she probably wouldn't know. But yeah, if I said Black Klansman, if I said Spike Lee, she probably wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's a matter of, can you separate the director from the film?
Right.
And I don't know if you can do that with Spike Lee, because Spike Lee is, whenever Spike Lee does anything, it has the Spike Lee name on it.
Yeah.
And Spike Lee has to be the front guy. Spike Lee, Spike Lee, Spike Lee. Alfonso Cuarón is more, he's more quiet and cerebral. I had no idea Alfonso Cuarón had anything to do with you said Harry Potter?
Yeah, he directed Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
I had no idea he did anything with Harry Potter. So two different kind of styles of directors. I could see The Favorite picking that up. I could see Black Klansman picking that up. Roma is the favorite in this crowd. I don't think Vice has a chance, and I don't think Cold War has a chance.
Okay. All right, cool. Best supporting actor, Mahershala Ali for Green Book, where he won the Golden Globe. Adam Driver for Black Klansman. Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Sam Rockwell for Vice. I think Sam Elliott in A Star Is Born was amazing. Mahershala won for Green Book. Mm-hmm. And I saw Green Book and it was good, but he was the best part of Green Book. But the movie overall, it needs to stop winning awards.
Yeah, Green Book picked up Best Motion Picture, and that kind of like surprised me from the Golden Globes.
Surprised everybody.
It shocked everyone. So if I'm a betting man, I'm putting my money on Mahershala.
Mahershala.
Mahershala. I'm sorry, Mahershala Ali.
I don't think he's listening to this episode.
I don't think he's
listening. Like, I'm so sorry, sir.
I butcher people's names because my name was butchered when I was a kid.
How can you butcher Benny?
Pinella.
Oh.
Panera, Panilla, Panarella.
Panella, Panella.
I got Panella. Then I got Pinelli. There's no I in my last name. There's one I in my name. Benjamin in Pinella. That's it. There's no other I unless you incorporate my middle name.
What's your middle name?
Giuseppe.
Oh, Giuseppe.
I. Yeah. It's like you start to spell Mississippi.
Okay.
Giuseppe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple I's in there, but yeah. No. Mahershala Ali. He won the Golden Globe, so that's a great start. Even though Green Book is one of those movies that I think it might win.
You bite your tongue.
But it
oh, you mean for Best Picture?
But it doesn't like deserve the award.
No,
you know, and I hate saying that, especially because it's not a terrible movie. It's just not great.
Yeah,
I don't know why it's getting awards. It's just
me
not,
either.
It's nothing great. It's nothing groundbreaking.
Very disappointing.
Didn't take 12 years to make. His Boyhood took 12 years to make.
Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for Vice.
Amy Adams.
Marina de Tavira for Roma. Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. Emma Stone for The Favorite and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite. So, as we played a few episodes ago, I interviewed Marina de Tavira for Roma. Do you remember that a few episodes ago?
I do remember that.
Yeah. So I think, again, The Favorite, I think the two favorites are going, the two The Favorite actresses are going to cancel each other out. And Marina de Tavira will take it. But again, I could be putting my own bias in this. You know what I mean?
True. However, Regina King won in the Golden Globes.
Yes.
I have a hard time thinking that the Golden Globes are going to be able to influence it this much. Regina King did a great job. I don't know if she did a good enough job to warrant winning. I have Emma Stone.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Emma Stone in this.
Emma Stone
was very good. The Favorite's got to win something. They're going to give Favorite something.
The Favorite was an amazing, it was one of the best films of the year.
They're going to have to give The Favorite something. Like, that you can't pass over that movie, kind of like how the Golden Globes did, where The Favorite was nominated for a lot, didn't come away with much. The Favorite's got to win something, and I think this is an award The Favorite has a really strong chance to. Nothing taken away from Regina King, but Emma Stone did a fantastic job in The Favorite.
Yes, she did. All right, cool.
Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, Viggo Mortensen for Green Book, William Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, and Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami obviously won for the Golden Globes, which was a bit of a shocker. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Christian Bale won for the Golden Globes. Remember he gave that speech?
Mm-hmm.
It was
a straight up political speech.
Yeah, he said what, something about thanks Satan or something.
Ah, you can thank Satan for teaching me how to play like Dick Cheney.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, that's weird. That's a weird thing to. That's
it
weird
was a very
statement.
Weird statement. So I don't know. Rami did amazing in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper did amazing in A Star Is Born. Christian Bale did amazing in Vice, and he won the Golden Globe. I'm gonna give it to Christian Bale.
I'm gonna go with Willem
Dafoe. I'm just laughing because that was not what I expected you to say.
Well, I think this is where insanity hits.
Okay.
And while Christian Bale had his speech, and I think the large part and large reason as to why Christian Bale gave that incredible speech was a last ditch effort to try and get a nomination here.
Okay.
I also think that this is where the Oscars are going to kind of stray off the beaten path. This is going to be the surprise of the night.
Okay.
And I think Willem Dafoe gets it, because I think like they'll go out of complete left field and just go with like, especially Rami Malek, who did a great job, Christian Bale, who did fine, Bradley Cooper did great. I don't want Green Book to win anything. I think Willem Dafoe gets it.
Okay. And Willem Dafoe is amazing.
Oh, he's fantastic. He obviously, you know, was an award-winning actor, deserves something. But.
My name is Willem Dafoe. I have no idea what he actually, I can't actually do a Willem Dafoe voice because I can't.
Sounds a lot like this.
I can't bring what he sounds like to my head right now.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe is very great at kind of disappearing on the screen.
Yeah.
Every now and then, yeah.
All right, cool. Best Actress, Glenn Close, The Wife, and of course she won for the Golden Globes. Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born. Yalitza Aparicio for Roma. Roma! Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me? Melissa McCarthy is now a Oscar-nominated actress, which is incredible. I love Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, she's funny, but Melissa McCarthy and the Oscars, to me, just don't don't wash.
So I also interviewed Yalitza Aparicio, Oscar-nominated actress for Roma, and we played that on an episode a few weeks ago.
You did?
And Lady Gaga, I mean, she was really born for this role. Just like Madonna was born for Evita, Lady Gaga was born for this role. But I got to say, I personally want Yalitza to win.
I could see Yalitza winning this. I really could. And if I'm a betting man, I think I'm putting a little bit of money down on Yalitza, because I don't think Glenn Close wins this. Glenn Close, like, the Golden Globes made
shocker.
A lot of weird decisions. A lot of weird. Not that Glenn Close isn't great, but that was just a weird decision, especially in this crowd. I think Lady Gaga wins this.
Okay.
I think Lady Gaga would bring the most star power. I think seeing Lady Gaga up there with an award in her hand would be a huge moment to the industry and would kind of give the Oscars a shot in the arm they need.
Okay.
In terms of ratings.
So I think it would be incredible if Yalitza wins besides being incredible in Roma. She is not an actress. She was not an actress before this. She was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she went from teaching school children to...
It's remarkable.
Roma.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's pretty
incredible.
It's
remarkable.
So I think it would be insane if she went from teaching school kids to winning an Oscar for her first role.
But here's the thing about the Oscars, though. The Oscars are very industry-driven. They're very executive-driven. So there's a bit of a boys' club. However, with the female awards in the past, there has been a willing to make more stands and to reward people for doing good work versus a great body of work.
Yeah.
And so the female awards usually get that with the Oscars. So I could see them rewarding Yalitza based off of her performance rather than having a body of work.
Okay.
Though Glenn Close winning the Golden Globes does kind of throw things into a bit of a
yeah.
tailspin, yeah. so to speak. I don't know. I mean, you have two people on here that have barely done any acting in their entire life up against Melissa McCarthy and Glenn Close and Olivia Colman, who I think she won something, didn't she? Or no?
I think she won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, she won
at
Best
the Golden
Supporting
Globe.
Golden Globes. So you have two award winners. You have two very much storied actresses, and you have two people here that have barely done any acting in their life.
Right.
So,
or you know what it was? Olivia Colman might have won for Best Actress Comedy or something, and Glenn Close won for Best Actress Drama. It was like one of those types of things.
Yep.
But yeah, all right. So Best Picture, Black Panther. That is awesome. This is the first Best Picture nomination for a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. It is the first Best Picture nomination for a superhero movie. That's incredible to have first superhero movie ever to be nominated for Best Picture.
And it's a deserving one, too.
It is. It is such a good movie. So, Black Panther, A Star is Born.
Yep.
Roma, The Favorite, Vice, Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, and Black Klansman. So this is a really tight race.
It's crowded. You have, in my opinion, you have five films that can win this.
Okay. Which are?
Starting from the bottom in terms of least likely to win versus most likely to win.
Okay.
I think Roma, unfortunately, is the least likely to win this award.
Really? Okay.
And that's because of the way the industry is.
Okay.
And because of what happened at the Golden Globes.
Also, just a note before you go further, Roma is the first movie from Netflix to win, or I'm sorry, to be nominated mm-hmm. for a major Oscar, and it just so happens to be the biggest Oscar category,
yeah.
Best Picture. So just a interesting fact.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I do think that might hurt it a little bit, too.
It
because
could,
the industry hates Netflix.
Yeah.
I think after Roma, Black Klansman, number four, I think is kind of least likely to win. Because I think it's a good movie, but I don't think it deserves Best Picture.
Okay.
Bohemian Rhapsody at three. The Favorite at two.
Okay.
And I think the one that's going to win is A Star is Born.
You think A Star is Born is going to win Best Picture?
Yep.
That is a bold statement. Hmm.
I think... And I could see it because it's got to happen. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga on stage giving this big speech. Lady Gaga with two awards in her hand. Bradley Cooper with an award in his hand. Sitting there and talking. That's what they want. I mean, that's the two. That's a guy in his prime right now and a rising absolute megastar in Lady Gaga. And that is an amazing visual.
It is.
To witness.
But remember, these are the artists voting. Not just the executives.
True.
So the executives might be voting that way, but there could be an actress who's never been nominated for a Best Picture and has been working for 40 years and is like, I'm not voting for, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it could cancel each other out in that respect.
It could. But I think Lady Gaga is one of those like rookies that's liked.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sense that she's... She isn't famous because she's an actress. She's famous because of other things.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like The Rock. You know, The Rock isn't, you know, The Rock got famous because of wrestling.
Right.
You know, and then he became a really great actor. He's going to win. He's won stuff, you know.
Like, you I, really I think he's a great actor?
He's good. He's good. He's my highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Yes, so. I love him as an actor, but I don't think he's a, I wouldn't be like, oh, Rampage. His intricate performance in Rampage is going to be nominated for Best
Actor. He makes a lot of schlock.
He does, but
he makes a lot of schlock.
Good schlock, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's great schlock. It's schlock you can bring your kids to watch.
Yeah,
it's kid schlock,
and adult schlock.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He makes
schlock for everyone.
He makes great schlock.
Yeah,
okay?
Schlock for everyone, says
schlock.
The Rock.
So where's like the old Jewish one? Schlock for everyone. he makes great
I got
schlock.
Some schlock for you. It's the Rock schlock. You want some Rock schlock?
The Rock schlock. Schlock rock. Schlock rock sounds like grunge metal.
I got some schlock rock for you, Benny. Let me bring your bowl over here, honey.
Let me fill it with some schlock.
Oh, you know, it's the rock schlock.
The
you
rock
know,
schlock.
Everybody loves rock schlock.
Everyone loves
yeah,
rock
schlock. Yeah,
take
two.
And you know what the best part about rock schlock is? As cheesy and corny as it looks, it never doesn't sell.
Yeah, yeah, because everybody loves it. Yeah, he's awesome.
It's incredible.
But anyway.
But yeah, Black Panther, I think it's awesome. It got nominated. I don't think a superhero movie is going to win.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if it won. Shocked.
Green Book. You know what? Honestly, you know what? I'll just say this. Would not surprise me if they go with Green Book as just a giant middle finger to the rest of the people. And I don't. Vice doesn't have a chance. A Vice does not. Have, in this crowd, it does not have a chance.
What about Bohemian Rhapsody, which won one of the Golden Globes?
Rami Malek did a good job.
I can't see it winning Best Picture.
The movie's good. It falls into almost. No, it's not Black Panther category. I think it falls into It falls into The Favorite for me. The Favorite's a good movie. It's got to win something. But it's not going to win a major award.
Okay.
But it's going to win something. They'll give it like a smaller award.
All right. All right. Well, we want to know what you think. We are on Facebook at Pop Culture Weekly. We are on Twitter at Pop Culture Podcast, which is Pop Culture Podcast without the ST because we ran out of letters. Benny, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at Benny on the Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out my podcast, The Pat and Benny Show, as well. If you want to get into sports, this week we'll be dissecting a horrible article written by PhillyVoice.com that I've mentioned now twice and now thrice in the show.
And don't you have some kind of music podcast?
I do. It's called Nashville's Next. It's a segment I do on 94.7 WDSD Fridays at 7. This week is Lenny Martelli joining us. He's a Philly kid.
Awesome. And you can find that on the iHeartRadio app.
Boom.
Because Pop Culture Weekly is presented by 92.9 Tom FM and iHeartRadio station. And please like, subscribe. It helps us get better. We want your interaction. We want your feedback. We are growing every week, and we love you for it. So you know Benny will be back very soon. And in the meantime, if you miss him too much, you need to go follow him and tweet and Instagram him and talk movies and yell at him about things that he's dabbing. Yell at him about things that anger you that he says.
And tell me about why Boyhood's a great movie. you can only use 1 year, one amount of years.
Wait, what?
Because it took 12 years to make.
You can only use one amount of years for what?
Describing how good Boyhood is. You can only just, you have to just literally, in your argument, you have to just keep saying it took 12 years to make.
All right. And to our studio audience, thank you all. Now, give yourselves a round. Oh, stop. Stop. You guys are amazing. Oh, God. You guys are the best.
You always have that one guy that whistles, like in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, you ever get those? Like,
yeah, I was waiting
like,
for
oh
you to
God,
do it.
Oh, my God, great job, great job. And you have the one guy that goes, woo, woo, like that. Like an inappropriate, like, ow!
All right, we're leaving. Goodbye. We love you.
To Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. Presented by 92.9 Tom FM, an iHeartRadio station.